Welcome to Tuned In. I'm John.
And I'm Justin.
We did this show for a while last year. We talked about television, film, did some solo shows, did some shows together. And we took a break for a bit. We're coming back a little bit different. Now we're tuning into just life. Nothing too specific or special, just kind of what we come across weekly. And we, you know, got some stuff written down, stuff from the old noggin. So I don't know if you have anything you want to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll still be doing the occasional, you know, like movies and TV because we like talking about that stuff. But generally, we'll just be, you know, hanging out, you know, Friday or Saturday mornings and some coffee and probably posting on Mondays, I think.
Yeah, we were talking about doing like Friday, Saturday record. Today's Saturday, the 23rd, so or 22nd. So we're going to be doing Friday, Saturday record sessions and then Sunday, Monday post, probably Monday. And yeah, so without further ado, finish my espresso and we'll get into it. I don't know if you have anything specific you want to start on. I got a couple things that lead into that one thing you talked about, so.
I mean, I'll start it off with something that's like kind of just like random, I guess. I was thinking a lot about critics and like, because I've always been interested in what other people have to say about certain things, like media specifically. And like, you know, there's the idea that like, oh, don't listen to the critics, you know, because there are other people and they're just people saying what they think. At the same time, though, like they've, you know, created a whole foundation for like what's like new and fresh. And it's kind of like it's their opinion at the end of the day, of course. So that's why you have to take it with a grain of salt. But I think that since they look into things so much, it's created a nice push-pull situation where, you know, like the more like if something that you made is critically acclaimed, that's going to help you so much.
Of course.
You know, so, but like if it's not, you still might have a niche audience. So it's like, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. I think that with, you know, we've come to a point in society where we're not doing most of the things that we do. Like we're not involved in most of our lives in terms of like being active. We hire people, we outsource, we look to other people that know more than us about a topic. And so I think with a lot of people, like the thing about criticism is that like for the masses or whatever, it's a great way to figure out what movies to watch. Like back in the day, you had the newspaper segments or the radio segments that are like films out and like, should you see them? And I think just like with anything, there is a point that you should be listening to critics or to people that are more knowledgeable than you. But at the same time, there's a point where you can't rely on what other people talk about.
Of course,
you can't. You can't. You know, I see a lot of people. It's like a joke. Like Anthony Fantano does music reviews, and like a lot of people, are like, oh, I thought I liked this album, but then I listened to his review and realized I don't like the album. Like that, you know, that stuff's crazy. But
right,
at the same time,
right.
Listen to why they're saying what they're saying. It's not about what they say. It's not about the rating or if they think you should see it, but about why they think that, and then use the why to determine what you want to do, given what you think, kind of thing.
Just loaded back into my mind. Mm-hmm. So
you're gonna be a critic one day, I can tell.
I mean,
it in the air.
I mean, I already like reviewing things, and you know, I don't know if I'll be like a published critic or anything, but like I'll definitely have my opinions on certain.
We're all critics,
artworks
deep down,
yeah.
Somewhere.
In life. It's like you were saying, a lot of people outsource things, so they've outsourced criticism, but that doesn't mean that.
Anyone can do it. Easy thing about being a critic.
Yeah.
I was thinking about movies and television and video games and all that stuff recently and the level of separation. We talked about it in terms of Ex Machina. We were just speaking about this, but I always think about like where is the line between life and art? And when will we blur that line? And it's like a singularity moment when like robots are the same as people, then it's okay, it's over kind of thing, right? But in terms of media, why is that uncanny valley exist? And are we going to get rid of the uncanny valley? Uncanny valley, if you don't know, being the concept of the space where robotics or AI or anything that's trying to look human looks so close to being human that it's uncanny. You're like, it's not quite human, it's a little off, but they're close. And when will we get past the other side of that? We've been in that valley for like 15 years now.
Right, and that fits especially, I think about that with video games, I think as you were starting to say, mm-hmm. And like, because we're at the point where, I think you said that we can make incredibly realistic looking
I think it was like, Sony like, executives were saying. Someone, one, some big game executive was talking about that concept that they could,
Yeah, it's just that they don't want to. Because it's just so eerie and people wouldn't want to play it. Which, you know, it's so interesting that level of like, you can still tell that it's fake just to avoid making people uncomfortable.
Yes.
It's a good, yeah, it's just a good move to make. It's just, that's our technological problems today.
To me, the big deciding factor over realism is depth and texture. Like, I think those are the things that when we get that nailed, it'll be over. Like, I think that is the only thing that's holding anyone back at all is the concept of, I think it's depth. Like, when you look at stuff in real life, there's so, your eyes are so complex. They take in these weird, all, every little shade and little, like, I'm looking around the room right now. Everything is so 3D and complex that it's very, very hard to mimic on 2D screen, almost impossible. This is what I think film's going to get into, though, in our lifetime. And this is, it's going to make film much more technical. I think we're going to start mapping. Like, I can see them say they're making a movie in this room. You map the whole room and, like, texturize the whole room. Get, like, do a complete online rendering of every inch of this room. Then have actors go in the room afterwards. It's mapped. Have actors go in, film them from 360-degree cameras and stuff. Them in their environment doing their scenes.
You're saying green screen type thing?
Well, it's you map the room. Right. You have them in the room as well, moving within it. But the room is a stable thing outside of that scene. And then, and this is, oh my, anyone that's tech is going to, I'm talking on my ass. But something like that concept. And then you can just plop someone with VR in that room. You put in VR.
Yeah.
You can just be sitting in a chair in the room watching that couple fight or watching whatever happens happen. I think that's the future of it. And that's insane to me. But I could see that or something similar to that coming around in the next 50 years.
Yeah. I'm thinking also about how, I don't know who else has seen the show, The Midnight Gospel. But with that show, I watched it and I left it thinking that this is like a cool new style that like...
Yeah.
Excuse me, it's combining podcasting, which is a growing medium, you know, people just listening to other people's conversations with a narrative plot, you know? And I think that that would fit nicely with what you're saying too. If you like a movie like My Dinner with Andre, you're sitting at dinner with them. It's like, it would open the door to those kinds of films, which are strange. And like, you actually don't have a character, but you feel more connected to the characters because you're next to them.
And that's like the end game version of like social media is now where we talk a lot about, I've heard this a few times recently, about like YouTube is, and I know a couple people that are like, this helped me through like middle school and high school. Growing up in like the vlog area of YouTube, I didn't do a lot of this, but a lot of people like, it gives you the sense that you're with some, you're sitting alone eating cheese puffs, like in a towel in your bed, but it feels like you're with friends. Cause you're watching like all those millions of vloggers that exist. And I think that video games have a similar escape. This leads me to a thing I really want to talk to that's going to lead into what you were saying you wanted to talk about. It's interesting to me how casual gaming has gotten so popular. I mean, casual style games. Like, I'm talking like Animal Crossing, the life simulator games like Sims and stuff, Second Life.
Heavy Rain.
we're not going to talk
about that. God bless anybody who's played that game.
Viscera Cleanup Detail is a really funny game.
I haven't
heard of it. Every level is famous video games. Doom or Halo or something.
Weird.
Off-brand. But they're famous tropes, like the mad scientist lair or the castle or something. And your job, you go in with your weapons are mops and brooms, and you clean up after
the people that just played through
and killed everybody. And it's a hilarious game.
That's cool.
It's those slow games that just like almost mimic life that people can get really into.
Yeah.
And why? Right? Why are we getting into that style of
games? A lot of people like to live vicariously.
Yeah,
and it's like The Sims has been popular for 20 years, right? You know,
I think historically it's a lot of we're overstimulated, always taking in media, always taking different things in, and so as a result, I think game like casual stuff like that brings you back to normalcy, brings you back to like it's like reading like it's like reading Prairie Fiction or something like that.
Yeah,
brings you back
to
a simpler way of life, and it's interesting now though the opposite's happening. We're living in right now, oh God, every podcast in the world's dated right now because we're living in a COVID era, right? And so I think now it's like longing for that pre-outbreak normalcy that we don't have anymore. And so I think it's interesting how that's flipped, but it's the same result.
Yeah.
People like doing that. Instead of riding a horse, they're going to do a game about riding a horse. Easier. Doesn't take the skills.
I don't know how much you know about the story of Ready Player One. I don't know if you ever saw it or read it or anything.
Basics, I think I'm aware of.
Yeah, and that's just like it's obviously, it's a little bit exaggerated, I think. But I think we could definitely head towards that kind of thing, depending on how accessible VR gets, you know?
Mm.
For those that don't know, Ready Player One is essentially about the world in the future where everybody works, lives, gets money from a VR game. And everybody just plays in their house every single day. And it's kind of how it works. And it's a big...
It'd be so cool, by the way.
Oh, it'd be super cool. It, like, to actually get money through a game.
I can't tell if it'd be a good way to live your life or not.
Huh?
I don't know if it'd be a good way to live your life or not.
That's what I was just thinking about. It's,
but, like,
it's
what is reality? If reality became for everybody being in this machine, then is that not reality?
The thing in the game, though, is that it does come at a premium. You know, you have to pay a lot of money for this specifically, but good. They have these...
Only rich can survive.
Mm. If you just, like, put your money towards it, it makes the games more realistic and you exercise better, so it mimics real life even more. They have these treadmills, which allow you to run, walk in any direction, and you're suspended from the walls and the ceiling.
That's cool.
So you just, like, run in whatever. You're actually running and whatever. And if you have, like, the fake gun or if you have, like, the controllers, you know? Huh?
Get one of those setups in here. Go crazy.
Insane.
Never leaving it? Not with me.
You know? Pay our landlord in Bitcoin, effectively.
All the miles around on the treadmill make energy to power the lights in the bus. Oh god, that's like easy to do. That's not even crazy.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
It's just commercializing it.
I think that's what. But that's. I think people crave that, like, escape. But I think a good way to maintain, and you're gonna like this because you're really good at this, better than anyone I know. Concepts of routine. Like, some people love routine, and some people think it's the devil's seed. Like routine can be really good because it gives you that normalcy and stability, and like gives you a checklist. At the same time, routine can be really trapping, and it can be really limiting in terms of growing as a person. So it's different people feel differently about it, but I know you love this conversation because you like routine a lot.
Yeah, I'll just throw my piece out there.
Please do.
I think it's kind of a what's the word? I think it's kind of a false idea that routines limit your day. Like, they obviously can if you have a plan that directly would get in the way of another plan, you know?
Sure.
So like, oh, say, like, you like going to bed at 10:30, but your buddies want to go out for a drink. That's when you use your judgment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's like if it's Friday, go out or do what you want to do. But I think there's definitely... you're just streamlining certain parts of your day so that you don't have to think about it. Cause humans run on auto mode a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's
easy to waste time nowadays too. With phones and shit, it's really easy to spend an hour on the couch when instead you could be doing two or three different things off a checklist.
Yeah. Like washing the dishes.
Sure.
Are you thinking actively while washing the dishes, or do you know soap goes on sponge and then sponge goes on dish?
Do you ever drive and then like a long drive and like you're like, I don't remember last, was I driving?
Oh, exactly.
Like, hey, if someone like pulled out in front of me, would I have responded? You would have.
Yeah.
But you're actually not taking anything. You're like, I have no memory of like if someone tried to tell me map like how many turns or curves around this high, especially like throughway driving or something like that. Yeah, you're on autopilot a lot more than you think.
Exactly. So like if you can fill those things with. If you can fill your time on autopilot, which for most people is morning and right before you go to bed.
Interesting.
To me, that's what I've recognized for myself, at least. If you fill those things with things that you actually want to do, then, you know, I think, at least for me, that makes me happier, you know, because if I wake up at 7 in the morning and I like doing that on routine, then I can go for a run and then... By 8:30, I'll have a good start to my day, and I'll feel more productive. You know.
Yeah, I think the biggest lie ever told. Ever.
Okay.
Is that being a night person's a good thing, or like nighttime is better?
Horrible.
And I horrible. Love the vibe. Like, I really like it. Like, I like it's late.
It's edgy.
And I'm out. It's not even that. I just like nighttime. A lot of people are sleeping. Dark. Your brain's in a different spot. I just like it, but. It is so much nicer to get up early.
even like
so much. You could do the same things in the morning you would have done at night. Like watch that movie in the morning or whatever. Like it's easy. It's not hard.
Get your coffee, watch a movie, and this morning you woke up at like 4:45. You said, "Yeah," yes, and that's like obviously I value like a good amount of sleep too. If I was waking at like 5-ish, I would go to bed at 9 probably.
I don't need sleep.
I have to get at least 7 for me to function well.
Trick
and
is
then,
always go on auto mode. Never. I type in my sleep.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
But yeah, I'm definitely more of a morning person than a night owl. I don't understand people who can burn the candle at both ends.
Problems with
like
that.
You.
You're a purist.
Notice, one or the other.
Notice the subtleties. I want you, listener, notice the subtleties in what he's saying. Morning person, night owl. Why not night person?
Night person.
We're humans too. Just because we have pale, translucent skin and crawl around the ceiling at night.
Morning bird.
Morning bird, night owl. Morning sparrow?
Okay.
Night owl.
Swallow.
Yeah, your swallow word's not mine, man. Yeah. Yeah, go for it. Yeah, dude. No, I like the routine a lot. I woke up early this morning. I had a great time.
Yeah.
Went for a run, did my shower, did some audio work before you even started. I've done 4 hours with a shit before
exactly.
you got out of the bed.
Exactly.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And I think...
Not for everybody, though.
Having those calming things is good, though. I know both of us like cooking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a big...
It's very meditative for me.
Because you're on autopilot, but you're like, it's kind of almost artsy. Like, you have music on.
Especially once you bank up some sort of knowledge on, like, what spices to use when mm-hmm. and, like, what each one's do. And once you have that, then you can literally just fuck around and throw whatever you want in a thing.
The only thing I don't like about cooking is the impermanence of it. You spend, like, an hour cooking, cooking, and then it's, like
10 minutes of eating.
Eat it, and then it's gone.
I wish you
could sell it as art.
When I first started to get into cooking, when I was like 15 or 16, I would cook for like an hour or whatever, mm-hmm. and then it would get time to eat it. And I'm like, I'm not even hungry anymore. I just
half the time.
Right? Yeah,
but you have to.
Yeah,
because that is best right now. If you say it's gonna taste worse, you got to try it at least.
Yeah,
I'm the same way. You lose your appetite. You're like, I'm not hungry.
That hasn't happened to me in a few years, but I definitely felt like specifically breakfast. I think.
Fuck breakfast.
I would make like scrambled eggs and toast, which I don't
every
fuck with.
Day.
Yeah, I don't
every day.
I don't fuck with scrambled eggs lately.
Child's egg.
Yeah.
Give me it's a child's egg.
Yes.
Gatekeeping eggs. But for real, if you like scrambled eggs, are you old enough to play Battleship? Effectively, anyone can play Battleship, but can you play battle like with strategy? You know.
Like, do you know to place the other person in front of a blacked out TV?
Blacked out. Ooh.
Like
nice, yeah. Like turn off.
John didn't.
That is smart. I'm the king of cheating at games.
That's from something. I can't take credit.
That's crazy.
For that.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's from like a. It was from like a TV show or movie. They're like, yeah. Why do you think I was? Oh, it's from Game Night with Jason Bateman.
Oh, jeez.
So yeah, cool. I always won because I sat you in front of the TV.
Smart, you can look over
crazy.
The shoulder.
Yeah.
I used to. This is a lot less nuanced. I was like 9. I thought I was clever, and it turns out I was clever. Game Stratego. Big like a battlefield, and you have all these different units that are different strength, and like the unit with a higher number beats out the other units, but you can't see the other team's units, so you're trying to like guess is that a 7 or a 5 or a 10 like kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there's rarity and stuff like that. There's more to it, flags, bombs, mm-hmm. whatever. But there the blue there's blue and red like pieces, and they're little castles. And so the blue team's castles, I took the 10, which is the highest ranking officer, the flag, which is if you get the flag, you win, and the spy, which is the only unit that can capture a 10. Those three units. I'm the red team. I think it was the red team. I blacked out the windows in the castles. The littlest change.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I always played as blue team, and I won every game of Stratego I ever played in my house, ever. And after like a week, I got really upset with myself. I'm like, you fucked up. You like, I mean, your game is ruined now. You've bit the apple of knowledge.
Yeah.
Like, I'm cheating every time I play.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, if I give it up, they'll never play with me again. I'll be branded as a cheater.
Right.
And it's my favorite game
mm-hmm.
ever. So mm-hmm. I was like, I just gotta live. And if I don't take the team every time, someone else is gonna figure it out, and then it's so. I was like, I just gotta live with this lie.
Wow.
Years. I told my dad about it like last year. Crazy. I was like, yeah, Dad, that's why I won all the time. He was like, that's not. Yeah. So Board games, fun to cheat.
Board games are fun.
To cheat.
Only for that.
I don't know. I like the cooking though. To get back on it. With me it's bread.
Bread is good, but bread's not good for you. In excess.
Get out of here. In excess. Yeah, you make a loaf though. Yeah. It's fine if that's like your main carb for the week.
Yeah. I just can't do like toast every morning.
No, I agree. I just like making bread. I like getting my hand, you get your hands dirty, like touching every individual piece of it. Once you get good enough, you don't have to measure it out. So you just like feel how much you feel and you really work with it. And it's like take a couple hours for it to be finished. So it's a really rewarding process. And
or then,
a
whole day.
People are super impressed by it. And it's not that hard to make. It's easy and it's rewarding and it's cheaper than buying it. So it's really just, I have so much fun doing that.
Yeah, I've tried it like once or twice, I think, and it's you know, I'm learning, but I do want to try like the overnight so I can get more of a spongy.
Fun. Yeah, no, overnights are worth it.
Yeah, I also want to try sourdough. That's a whole other process where you have to.
We can do that sometime. Sourdough's fun. I've never done a successful sourdough.
We have some good jars for it. We could.
Yeah, it takes a bit to get a good starter going. But once you got it, it's over.
Oh, yeah.
Your grandkids will be asking for your starter. Good enough place to stop, I think, for today.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
You could call it tuning in.
Yeah.
We
could do that.
Thanks for tuning in to our show. We're going to be doing this every week. Low-key little morning, little conversation over coffee, hanging out. So tune in next week for the next one. And we hope to continue seeing you. So without further ado, have a nice day. Nice week.
And start those habits up if you want.
Routine yourself. You know? Or maybe your routine is not having a routine.
Isn't that a routine, though?
Could be considered one. Bye.
See ya.